Morning.
Morning.
Page Kuf Yud Tet, Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. Read again part of the Gemara we read yesterday. Amar B'Yochanan, Bipnema Zachal Torah Shalikroto Asnapar Rabba V'Yakira. Why did that Rasha Sancherev merit to be called a snapar, the great and venerated? Because he did not speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. Shneemar ad bo'i v'lakachti etchem el Eretz Yerzechem. He said, until I come back and take you to a land that's like your land. He didn't say that a land that's better than your land. That's not called speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael. Now turn the page to page Kuf Chaf in the Ein Yaakov Avar, where it says, Aval Yisrael sipru b'ginu tash Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people who were exiled by Sancheirev did speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. Ki metos sos, when he came to a place called Sos, Amru Shavya ki Arin. They said, this is as good as our land. Kimato Almin, when he came to a place called Almin, Amru ki Almin. They said, this is as good as Yerushalayim. Kimato Sos Trey, when he came to a place called Sos Trey, Amru Al Chad Train. They said, this is twice as nice as the place we came from. When we read this yesterday, we only focused on the last part that they said, that this place was twice as nice as Eretz Yisrael. However, the Gemara says that they said three things. A place called Sos, they said, this is as nice as Eretz Yisrael. And a place called Almin, they said, this is as nice as Yerushalayim. Gemara seems to be including that in the statement that Yisrael sipru b'ginu tash al Eretz Yisrael, that the Jewish people spoke ill of Eretz Yisrael by saying that some other place was as nice as Eretz Yisrael. Whereas Sancheirev is praised for saying that I'll take you to a place that's as nice as your place. So my Rebbe, Rav Tzuriel, points out this seeming contradiction in his Sefer Otzros HaMusar, Chelek Aleph, page 448. And he says that the answer is, Chazal say, Gemara in Sota, Chein makom al yoshvav. People like the place where they came from. So for Sancheirev to say that your place is as nice as my place, since the person naturally assumes his place is nicest. So for Sancheirev to say your place is as nice as my place is a compliment. However, Bnei Yisrael, Jewish people came from Eretz Yisrael. So for them to say that some place is as nice as Eretz Yisrael is putting down Eretz Yisrael. That's simply a question of who said it. And he says that Lachin Bismanenu, in our times, Yeshi Zahar, Biyoter B'Sinona Yibur, you have to be careful how you speak to say that other places are as nice as Eretz Yisrael would seem to violate this Gemara. We'll see more about that in Ben Yoyada in a moment. Gemara in Ksubos says that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, I think in Tveria, they would move their students from the shade, from the sun to the shade in the summer, and from the shade to the sun in the winter. Rashi says that in the middle of the shiur, they would say, okay, everybody get up now and we're going to move over there. Not just saying that they learned in one place in the summer and a different place in the winter. They would move as the sun moved. And the reason they did this is they didn't want anyone to say it's uncomfortable, it's too cold in Eretz Yisrael, or it's too hot in Eretz Yisrael. So they always moved with as the sun moved. So Rav Tzuriel points out that must have been incredible Bittul Torah involved. In fact, Mara says that it's usur even to say asuta, which is Arabic or Aramaic for gesundheit in a Beis Medrash. It's Bittul Torah even to say gesundheit when somebody sneezes. And here, they're picking up dozens or hundreds of students, and in the middle of the day of learning, and they're relocating the yeshiva every day. So even if it took 10 minutes a day for a whole year, is hours and hours and hours of Bittul Torah. He describes, you have to get up, you have to move, you have to sit down. So how many hours of Torah were lost? But all of this because they didn't want even one person to repeat the sin of the Meraglim of speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael. Everything the Meraglim said was true. The person says it's hot in Eretz Yisrael or it's cold in Eretz Yisrael. It's true. But it's not a proper thing to do, to say it in a critical way. So it was worth all that Bittul Torah every single day, adding up to who knows how many hours over the whole course of the year in order to avoid having someone speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. Ben Yoyada concludes from this Gemara, Ben Yoyada at the end of Masachik Subos. Mikan Yomod Adam Musar Haskel. From here, a person should learn Moser, Lishmor Pivul Shono, to guard his mouth and his tongue. The Val Yotzi Mipiv Shum Dibur Loto, not to speak any word that's not good. Leganot Afilu Ama Achat Eretz Yisrael, to criticize even one Ama, one small amount of Eretz Yisrael. Hein Mitzad Havir, not because of the air. Hein Mitzad Kor V'Chom, not because of cold or heat. Hein Mitzad Perot, not the fruits. Hein Binyan Binyan, not the buildings. Afilu Be'et Churbana Shibiyad Goyim, even when it's in the hands of Goyim. Babatim Heim Shel Goyim, even when the houses belong to Goyim. G'day Shlo Yehei Bichlal Motzi Dibal Eretz Yisrael, in order not to be someone who is saying Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael.
Does this apply to the politicians or political system?
We saw yesterday that Yisrael Zev Harwitz and Nachal Yisrael, he said, again in the early 1800s, he said, people say there are thieves in Israel, there are swindlers, there are people who encroach on other people's property. He said, first of all, they have those in Chutz La'aretz too. And second of all, the reason they do those things is because the Yetzer Hara of a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael is greater than the Yetzer Hara of a person who doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, to say something critical, and he's saying it in the context of people who, you know, discouraging people from making aliyah, it would seem to be the same thing.
Talking about the system, like we have a current system there where the Supreme Israeli Supreme
Court
is always sticking to nose.
If you're doing it, if you can have some constructive purpose, then like any Lashon Hara, for a constructive purpose, it's permitted. But otherwise, it's just Lashon Hara. They're Jews, and for us to sit and gossip about the Israeli Supreme Court would seem to be just Lashon Hara, and it's worse because it's Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael.
My question was actually about being, let's say, critical of Ramallah. Okay, when you're talking about the buildings of Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you say, you know, Arab villages are a dump or something like that?
Ben Yoyada seems to be saying no.
That's the implication
there. Right. That's what he seems to be saying. It's Eretz Yisrael. It's still more beautiful. Now, we'll talk shortly about the fact that we don't necessarily see the beauty. We'll talk about that. Seems to be that anything that is...
Even the political system.
Unless you have some constructive role to play, otherwise...
He was explicit about the land and the buildings.
Right.
Yesterday we talked about the corrupt people.
People.
Okay. So the political, you have problems with the political system. Well, that's
not a specific person, and
not the land. The Chafetz Chaim said. Chafetz Chaim says, people say, I'm not saying Lashon Hara about a specific person. I'm talking about the whole shul. Well, that's worse, right? That's worse. Okay, so talk about the whole Jewish people. Talk about millions of Jewish people. In fact, what you're saying is, the 5 or 6 million Jews in Israel couldn't come up with a better system. I do want to distinguish, in order not to make this sound like a Zionist cheer. We're talking about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is not a synonym for Medinas Yisrael. Medinat Yisrael. There are people who use it that way, but it's not, you know, the prime minister of Eretz Yisrael, I've heard people say. He's not the prime minister of Eretz Yisrael. He's the prime minister of Medinat Yisrael, or the Supreme Court of Medinat Yisrael, and the state of Israel and the land of Israel are two different things. For one thing, the land of Israel includes Lebanon and Syria and Jordan. Those are two completely separate things. It is not a discussion about the merits of Zionism or the government thing. However, it does sound like, from what we learned yesterday about not saying that people, that there are corrupt people in Israel, that would seem to include criticizing a political institution that's run by Jews in the land of the Jews, unless it's for some constructive purpose. I'm not a post-sick, but that's what it seems to me. So. The Ben Yoyada also says, brings a Gemara. We discussed this once before, way back when we talked about Sicha Betela, what the definition of Sicha Betela and Sichas Chulin, of conversation, is that's usher, perhaps even all the time. So the Rambam mentioned that Rav never spoke Sicha Betela. And the Farshim and the Rambam say they don't know what the source for that is. It must be an oral tradition. So Ben Yoyada suggests a source in the Gemara for that statement of the Rambam. And then he says, not our Gemara, in a different Gemara. And then he says that the Gemara relates a story of someone who sent his father-in-law new wine and new oil and flax garments, linen garments, for Shavuos. The Gemara asks, what's it telling us? And Ben Yoyada says, what do you mean, what's it telling us? It's telling me that the grapes and the olives and the flax grew before Shavuos. That's interesting to know, because usually these things don't grow till after Shavuos. He says, Gemara's question is that the person speaking there is Rav. And Rav never spoke Sicha Betela, never spoke a word without a purpose, or however we had a shiur 6 months ago or so about what is Sicha Betela. For now, we'll just say he never spoke without a purpose. Just telling me something interesting that, hey, did you know that the olives were ripe before Shavuos? That's Sicha Betela. It serves no purpose. So the Gemara concludes that the purpose of the story is to tell us how wonderful Eretz Yisrael is. So you see, says the Ben Yoyada, that talking about how wonderful Eretz Yisrael is not Sicha Betela. Even a person, Rav, who is extremely careful never to say a word without a purpose, but to tell a story that results in praise of Eretz Yisrael, is a very worthwhile purpose. And even Rav did that. So that's also Ben Yoyada at the end of Masechet Ksubos. When we talked about Mashiach ben Yosef, about a sefer called Kol HaTor, written or attributed to some question about who actually wrote it, but attributed to Rav Hillel of Shklov, a young student of the Vilna Gaon, the son of one of the major students of Vilna Gaon. At the end of the sefer, it talks about the sin of the Meraglim. This is, again, the historical context is in the early 1800s, students of the Vilna Gaon. There is no question that the Vilna Gaon encouraged his students to make Aliyah. A significant number of them did. That's the basis of the Ashkenazi community in Yerushalayim. It is from that Aliyah of the students of the Vilna Gaon. In the meantime, students of the Baal Shem Tov were settling in the Galil, in Tzfat and Tveria. We'll talk about one of them shortly. So that's not a question. What's some people question about this sefer is the messianic views that it attributes to the Vilna Gaon, the idea that making Aliyah and building up the land is the process of Mashiach ben Yosef. So we talked about that. At the end of the sefer, he says that Chet HaMeraglim b'Midbar, the sin of the spies in the desert, b'mei Moshe, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, who echad ha-chata'im ha-klaliyim ha-gdolim ha-rovetz al-am Yisrael b'chol ha-drot ad-yom hazeh. It's one of the great kind of overarching sins that's still crouching over the Jewish nation even until this day. So, in a literal sense, we know Chazal say that sin was committed on Tisha B'Av, the night that the Meraglim came back. The day the Meraglim came back was Erev Tisha B'Av, and it says that they cried that night. That night was Tisha B'Av. Hashem said, "You want to cry? I'll give you a reason to cry." And we know that both Bate Mikdash, both temples were destroyed on Tisha B'Av, and many other tragedies throughout Jewish history have happened on Tisha B'Av. So that's on one level, but what he's adding is that not only the consequences of the sin of the spies still exist, but the sin itself, the call it the aura of the sin is still around and still affects us and causes us to repeat the same sin. And he says that those who discourage Aliyah, talk about how difficult it is, it's because of that sin of the spies thousands of years ago that's still around and is still grabbing us and making us repeat the sin. And again, this is in the early 1800s. It has nothing to do with Zionism or anti-Zionism, simply talking about living in Eretz Yisrael. He says that the tikkun, the repair for the sin of the Raglim, if the sin of the Meraglim on Tisha B'Av led to the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed on Tisha B'Av, that the repair for that must be building the Beis HaMikdash. But before you build the Beis HaMikdash, you got to build Yerushalayim. And therefore, obviously, building Yerushalayim, physically building up Yerushalayim, is the way that we repair the sin of the Meraglim. It says, Uvavonotenu harabim, due to our many sins, Rabim Hema Chotim Chet Gadol Shalvaim Asub Eretz Chemda. There are many who commit the great sin of rejecting the beloved land. Gam Rabim Itofsei Torah Lo Yadu V'Lo Yavinu Shnipasu B'Chet HaMeraglim. Many from people, Tamid Chachamim, don't realize that they are caught up in the sin of the Meraglim. המרגלים האלה רוצים להיות יותר גדולים מרבותינו תנאים ומוראים שכבושי שיבת ארץ ישראל שכולה כנגד כל מצוות שבתורה. Chazal say that living in Eretz Yisrael is greater than all mitzvot in the Torah. And says these meraglim, he's referring to some rabbis in his generation, they say, no, don't go to Eretz Yisrael, stay here, learn in yeshiva, and this and that. Says, Chazal say that learning, the Tanaim and Amoraim, the sages of the Mishnah and the Gemara, say that living in Eretz Yisrael is greater than all mitzvahs in the Torah. So he calls the people who say, no, it's more important to stay here in yeshiva, meraglim. Obviously, there are considerations, financial considerations, other considerations. Are we going to tell a guy who's in yeshiva here to go to Eretz Yisrael and run around without any structure and be at risk. Obviously, every situation needs to be addressed specifically, but he's talking about a general attitude that downplays the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael. He says that Magadol hu hakeev shel uvdah sherabim achinu v'yisrael v'neihem gam me'ashirei am shebimnot Rusya. How great is the pain for the fact that many of our Jewish brethren, including rich people in Russia, who prepared to, with excitement, to go to Eretz Yisrael because of the command of our Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, and then they cooled off. They were cooled off by some Talmidei Chachamim who told them, who didn't understand the importance and told them not to go. So he said, this is what the Vilna Gaon said when he said that when it's time for the ingathering of the exiles, the Yetzer Hara will be very strong. And Medrash says that when the Jews leave the exile, Amalek will meet them on the way. That Amalek, it says, Asher Karcha Baderech, which literally means he happened upon you on the way, but Chazal interpreted as he cooled you off on the way. The famous mashal about that when the Jew, after the Jews left Mitzrayim, all the miracles, all the nations were afraid to attack them, and it's like a bathtub that's scalding hot. Somebody jumps in, he gets scalded, but it cools it off for everyone else. So that's Amalek. Amalek attacked the Jewish people. Amalek got burnt, but now the aura was removed. And it also cooled off the Jewish people. They said, oh, we're not invincible anymore. So he makes a play on those words, say that all these people who were very excited about going to Eretz Yisrael and then got cooled off by other rabbis who told them it's not such a big deal. So he says that's Amalek coming on the way to prevent the ingathering of the exiles. He says at the end of Masechet Sota that in the days preceding Mashiach, truth will be lacking and chutzpah will proliferate. Says the Vilna Gaon said to make that everyone, you know, to make aliyah if possible, and there are other rabbis saying no, don't. What greater chutzpah is that? And Chazal said there's no better place to live than Eretz Yisrael. It's greater than all mitzvos. And these other rabbis are saying, don't, no greater chutzpah than that. Okay. It's not me talking. This is Rav Hillel of Shklov, a student of the Vilna Gaon in the early 1800s. Totally tangentially on that Gemara that says, chutzpah, that be'ikvata de Mashiach, in the days preceding Mashiach, list things that will happen. One of them is chutzpah yiske, usually translated as chutzpah will proliferate, which we definitely see in our days, that chutzpah proliferates. But some translate it, the word yiske can also, the word sagi mean, in Aramaic means enough. So chutzpah yiske could also mean chutzpah will be enough. It won't take any talent, any skills, any qualifications, any credentials to get by in this world. All you'll need is chutzpah. Thank God we see that in our days too. So hopefully the days of Mashiach are getting closer because we see these signs. So that was tangential. That was not from Kol HaTorah. That was tangential. So, I'm sorry?
Editorial.
Well, it wasn't my editorial comment. I don't remember for sure who said that. I think I've seen that a number of places. So we're being told that Eretz Yisrael is wonderful, and we shouldn't speak ill of it. We shouldn't criticize it in any way. The reality is that it's very beautiful, and hopefully we're all inspired just in some way when we go to Eretz Yisrael, but we don't necessarily see that it's so special. It's the reality of it. So, as I mentioned many times in a few minutes ago, in addition to the Aliyah of the students of the Vilna Gaon, there was the Aliyah of the students of the Baal Shem Tov, or the students of the students. And they settled primarily in the north, in Tzfat and Tveria. One of them, one was Rav Avram Dov Ber of Avrich. I don't know how to pronounce. But it's here's from the Ukraine. He's a rabbi in Chmelnik and Avrich and Zhytomyr. And he lived from 1765 to 1840. In 1830, so 10 years before he died, he made Aliyah and settled in Tzfat. And he's known, best known for his Sefer of Hasidus on Chomesh called Bat Ayin. But in the end of this edition of Bat Ayin, it brings things about him from other Svarim. It says that one day he made a big Suda, and nobody knew what simcha he had. It wasn't, didn't have a bar mitzvah or a wedding or a yard site, or why was he making this big Suda? So somebody got up the nerve to ask him, why did he make this big Suda? So he said that before he came to Eretz Yisrael, a mashulach came from Eretz Yisrael and was describing the holiness of the land. And you can go to the Western Wall and other holy places. And he said that even the stones of Eretz Yisrael shine like sapphires. So when I got to Eretz Yisrael, he says, in 1830, I saw, it's true, you can go to the Kotel, you can go to the Maris Machpelah, all these holy places you can go to, the grave of the Arizal, in Tzfat, all these wonderful holy places. But I never saw the stone shine like sapphires. And it's really bothered me for a long time. When will I finally merit to see the stones of the Holy Land shining like sapphires? And yesterday I saw it. And so I'm making this great Suda. The point being that the beauty of Eretz Yisrael is not obvious. All these sources that we're looking at, they're telling us, don't speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. It's incredibly beautiful and holy. Doesn't mean everybody's going to see it immediately. We'll talk in a second about one way that a person might work on himself to be able to see that. Brings another story here about the Bat Ayin. Says that one time in the middle of the Kedusha, his shamish said that one time in the middle of Kedusha, I felt like something was going on with him, with the overture, they call him, Avram Dov of Overich. So called him overture. So the next day, he called me and he asked me to write a letter for him to Rav Motala of Chernobyl, was Hasidish Rebbe in Ukraine. And he said that the first 3 years after I came to Eretz Yisrael, this is what he wrote in Yiddish. That the first 3 years after I came to Eretz Yisrael, I didn't feel like I had done something good. I was like, why am I here? I remember once talking to a friend of mine who was he lived in White Oak before I did. He was a friend of mine from somewhere else. But he made Aliyah, and he was one of these really gung-ho people. And a couple of years later, I saw him, and I said, so how's Eretz Yisrael? He said, it's a place to live. And I was so bothered by that comment. Like, after he got there, all the excitement was gone, and it's a place to live. But that's what the overture wrote of Motala of Chernobyl said. I got here for 3 years, and I didn't feel anything, and I wondered, why did I come? Why didn't I just stay back in Ukraine? And he connects it to the pasuk of that a tree, for the first 3 years, after you plant a tree, the fruits are orla. They're not allowed to eat them, not allowed to have benefits for them. He said, that's how I felt. But today, during Kedusha, middle of Kedusha, I suddenly felt this immense holiness of Eretz Yisrael, and I'm glad I came. And that's what he seems to be saying. Yeah, he says I actually regretted coming, but today, it contradicts it because earlier it says this happened the next day. So either today or yesterday, I suddenly felt the great Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and I was glad that I came. If somebody who went to all the trouble in 1830, imagine how difficult it must have been to make Aliyah from Ukraine. If he's allowed to take some time to feel it after the feel the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, so it could justify a little bit if we don't feel it right away as well. But why not? And what can we do about it? Sefer Beit Knazai Eretz Yisrael by Rav Rafal Moshe Luria, mentioned many times, is a Slonimer Chassid and Rosh Shiva in Eretz Yisrael, died about 10 years ago. Slonimer Chassidim, incidentally, were always very connected to Eretz Yisrael. One of the, if not the earliest Hasidic movement to officially move to Eretz Yisrael was Slonimer Chassidus. Slonimer is, if you're familiar with Sefer, people quote often, the Sivo Shalom. That was a Slonimer Rebbe. That's or the Hasidic movement that we're talking about. So he says that we said yesterday, by way of background, we read the Psukim about that in Egypt, the land is fertile, there's no need for rain, there's always water. Eretz Yisrael is rocky and mountainous and dependent on rain. And when it does rain, you have to go to the bottom of the mountain and drag it back up to plant your rocky land. And Rashi says a person could think that the Torah is criticizing Eretz Yisrael. The reality is that if you look at Eretz Yisrael through the eyes of nature, it's difficult to see what's so special about it. It has virtually no natural resources. It's not terribly suitable for agriculture. What is so special about it? So Rafal Moshe Luria says that actually there's nothing special about Eretz Yisrael. And that's what's special. The fact that it's an empty vessel that can be filled with holiness. And the God's wonders, sort of like the Sifsei Chachamim said yesterday, the fact that the existence is miraculous, our existence in the land of Israel is miraculous. And it's a receptacle for the goodness of Hashem, because naturally speaking, it actually has nothing. And so if a person himself has to be a receptacle to receive and see the goodness of Hashem in order to see the wonders of Eretz Yisrael, because actually it has nothing. He says that the way to achieve this is through humility. Chazal make this connection, many commentaries make this connection based on two pasuk and a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. When the spies came back and were criticizing Eretz Yisrael, Kalev, one of the two good spies, said, Tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od. The land is very, very good. Another place where we find that expression, ma'od ma'od, is in Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, ma'od ma'od havei shvar ruach. Be very, very humble. A person should be very, very humble. And so many svarim make this connection between between appreciating Eretz Yisrael and being humble. What he's saying here is that in order to see the goodness that Hashem rains down on Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is an empty vessel, a person has to be an empty vessel, to be humble, to be an empty vessel so that Hashem's goodness can fill him up as well. That's Beit Nazai, Eretz Yisrael, Volume 1, page 220. In the introduction to the same volume, he talks more about this expression, ma'od ma'od. He says that the Rambam says that the person should take the middle road about all midos. Every character trait, everything a person does should be middle road. Don't eat too much, don't eat too little. Don't sleep too much, don't sleep too little. Says, one exception is when it comes to humility. One should not take the middle road. One should be, as the Mishnah says, ma'od ma'od have shvaruch, very, very humble. So Rav Luria explains that to be humble is a midah. It's a character trait. So there's so-and-so, Shmerel, and he has a character trait of being humble. And we'd say, that's good. But in the Mishnah says, ma'od ma'od havishva ruach, it's saying that you should go beyond being a character trait to being the person's essence. It's not that there's Shmerel and his humility, but that the essence of Shmerel is his humility. He says that many commentaries ask, why do we not find in the Torah anything about Avram? Suddenly, all of a sudden, Hashem speaks to Avram, go out from your land. Who is Avram? Why Avram? What's special about Avram? The Torah doesn't describe anything about him. He says, because the essence of Avram was goodness. The essence of Avram was everything Hashem is looking for. So the Torah can't describe Avram and his good characteristics, because they are the essence of Avram. There's nothing to talk about. So when the Mishnah says, be very, very humble, it means to make humility one's essence. So similarly, when Kalev said, Tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od, the land is very, very good, means that's the essence of the land. It's not necessarily that there are good qualities about the land that we can describe. It's just the essence of Eretz Yisrael is good. The essence of Hashem is good. The essence of the Jewish people is good. And the essence of the land is good. And that's why they're a good, I guess not pair, good combination. Hashem, the Jewish people, and Eretz Yisrael, what we have in common is that our essence is goodness. And therefore, we belong together. The says that when the Torah and Chazal speak about Eretz Yisrael being good, it doesn't mean that there are good qualities that you can identify. In fact, as I said before, there aren't. It's an empty receptacle to receive Hashem's goodness. He says, similarly, he says same thing about Shabbos. What is it about Shabbos that's so good? So a person with a very coarse understanding will say, I don't have to go to work, I can rest. But that's not what Shabbos is. The essence of Shabbos is just something good. You just, if a person wants to feel it, you can feel it. The thing I mentioned here recently, so my boss wanted me to go to a meeting in Albuquerque on a Friday afternoon. And I said, I can't do that. He said, why? At 4 o'clock, you go up to your hotel room and you won't do any work. Like, that's not what Shabbos is. I said, that, you have no idea what Shabbos is. I'm sorry, I can't explain it to you, but I'm not doing that. And Shabbos also, it's not really something you can describe. It's just something that if you get into it, you feel it. So that he ties that in as well. So hopefully this will help us appreciate Israel a little bit more, and at the very least not to speak ill of it, even when it's true, because that's Raglim also, again, everything they said was true, but it was wrong. It was improper, and it was incorrect as a practical matter, because what's important in Eretz Yisrael is that Hashem takes care of us, and Hashem makes it all work out. Have a good day.